Hello, everyone. My name is Andrew.
And my name is Anna.
And you're listening to the Culips English Podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Culips. You're listening to Chatterbox, which is our series designed for intermediate and advanced English learners. And in a Chatterbox episode, we present natural, unscripted conversations about a wide range of fascinating topics. Might be a current event or a trending issue, something like that. Now, today I am happy to be joined by my co-host, Anna. Hello, Anna. How's it going?
I'm great, thanks. How are you, Andrew?
I'm really good, and I'm excited to talk about our topic for today, Anna. Actually, this was something that you suggested, and it was right up my alley. I think maybe regular listeners of our Chatterbox series will know that I tend to be interested in issues regarding technology and the internet, and this is one of those topics that covers both of these things. So, Anna, thank you for choosing this topic.
In today's episode, guys, we're going to talk about the idea of digital modesty. In a nutshell, this basically means limiting how much you share online. It's a topic that many people are talking about these days as we all battle with finding a balance with how much we consume and share online and on social media. So Andrew and I are going to talk about our own personal experiences and opinions about digital modesty and discuss our own digital habits and the choices we make when navigating through cyberspace.
I think this is going to be a very thought-provoking conversation, and I hope everyone listening out there, I hope you guys will enjoy it too. And guys, by studying with this episode, you'll be able to build your vocabulary about digital and online culture. Of course, you'll be able to improve your listening skills as well, and you'll get familiar with idiomatic expressions and slang related to online behavior and social media. Now, there's also a transcript and a study guide available for this episode if you are a Culips member. Using the study guide while you listen is a great way to improve your learning experience with Culips. By becoming a Culips member, you'll also support the work that we do here at Culips and help us to keep creating English lessons for people all around the world. And there's also a lot of other benefits. Membership comes with tons of bonuses and perks, such as ad-free audio, access to our member-only series, the Fluency Files, invitations to our monthly member live streams. There's our member-only Discord channel as well. So there's lots of goodies that you get when you're a member. If you're interested in signing up, just visit our website, culips.com, or follow the link in the description for this episode.
Lastly, we wanted to give a shout out to our listener, Jamka22, who left us a lovely comment and a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Jamka22 wrote, "I'm very happy to have the opportunity to study with you. I'm 52 years old. I'm from Brazil, and I've been living in Italy for almost 20 years. I listen to Culips every day trying to improve my English. Thanks, 3 exclamation marks, I will say. You're great. Thank you so much, Jamka. That's wonderful. We really, really appreciate it."
Yeah, thank you, Jamka. And I have to say, I'm jealous. Coming from Brazil and then moving to Italy sounds pretty good. 2 amazing countries there that I haven't visited, actually, but one day I hope to visit both. Anyways, thank you so much, Jamka, for that wonderful review. And thank you to everybody who has been leaving us reviews and 5-star ratings on your favorite podcast apps. We really do appreciate it, and it helps to spread the word about Culips to other English learners from around the world as well. So please keep it up. And with that being said, we are ready to get started with our conversation here today about the topic of digital modesty. Digital modesty. And we're going to break this down for you guys step by step before we really get into the nitty-gritty details. And we'll begin with defining modesty. And Anna, I went to the dictionary and I found the definition of modesty here. And there are 3 main definitions for this word. I thought we could go through all 3 because all kind of hint on what digital modesty is. There's a little element of each definition that applies to the concept of digital modesty. And yeah, we can just go through all of the definitions here. So I'll start with the first one, which is modesty means the fact of not talking much about your abilities or your possessions. Okay, so if you are a modest person, I think we often use it here in the sense of the adjective, right? You're a modest person. And so that means that you don't really brag or talk about yourself too much, right? Another word that we could use is humble, I think, is a good synonym there. You're humble, you're modest. Another one that is a common way that we use this word modesty is to talk about the clothes that we wear and the action of behaving or dressing, but I think especially dressing so that you don't show off your body too much or so that you don't attract any sexual attention. And this varies from culture to culture, and sometimes there's a religious element as well. But modesty can also mean the clothes that you wear and how you present yourself in the world. And then finally, the last way that we can use this word modesty is the state of not being very large, expensive, or important. And again, I think here we use it as an adjective. Like you'll often hear people say something like, I had a modest upbringing, modest upbringing. What does that mean, Anna, if I said I had a modest upbringing?
I think what it would mean for me, what I would understand from that is that you lived in, let's say, a normal sized house. You didn't come from a particularly wealthy family. You had access to things, but you know, you weren't particularly wealthy, but equally, maybe you weren't particularly poor either. So that's what I would take from that. And the one thing I was thinking about when you said it, Andrew, is Warren Buffett, who's the really famous investor, and he lives in a very modest house, which I think a lot of people find is really unusual. He lives in the same house that he bought in like 1970 or something like this. I can't remember exactly, but he lives in a very modest house, which is unusual given the fact that he's a multi-billionaire.
Mm-hmm. I think Elon Musk also has said that he's lived in very modest houses before and sometimes just sleeps on his friends' couches and stuff. Like another crazy billionaire, right? And you think that these guys would be living in these mega mansions, but instead they're living very modestly. And that just means that they're not too extravagant, right? They're not really displaying their wealth and showing off their wealth and living the lifestyle you would imagine a billionaire would live, but instead it's more smaller scale, more humble. That's the definition of the word modest. So if we take all of these definitions then, guys, and we put it together, it's really about just not showing off too much. I think that's the core, right? Is you're not showing too much to the world. You're not showing your wealth. You're not showing your body. And you're not showing your possessions. You're kind of staying humble and more secretive. And I think that's the sense of the word that carries over into this expression, digital modesty. And I have to say here, I think we should be clear. This is not really a common idea, right? Digital modesty. This is a new idea. But when you suggested this idea topic, I was like, huh, digital modesty. I wonder what that's about. I didn't know exactly what it was from the get-go. So guys, we'll explain the concept to you here in this episode, but it's something that you might have to explain a little bit if you want to chat about this with your friends in the future. If you just say to your friends, like, what do you guys think about digital modesty? Probably the reaction that you're going to get is, what's digital modesty? I would imagine. I think that is how most people would respond. Anna, maybe you could sum it up for us in your own words. What do you think? What is digital modesty?
Well, to give you a bit of context, guys, I was listening to a podcast, and this is the first time that I heard of it as well. And it's a concept that has been developed by somebody called Mary Harrington. Mary Harrington was a guest on this podcast I was listening to. And Mary Harrington is a UK-based writer. She contributes to a publication called Unheard. She has a weekly column. She also has a book called Feminism Against Progress, which actually focuses on women's rights in the biotech age. So this is obviously an area that she's really interested in and writes about. And she was on this podcast talking about this idea that she came up with, which is digital modesty. Essentially, what I would say is that it's how much you share online and what your boundaries are about sharing online. Are there some things that are non-negotiables that you decide, I'm not prepared to share that online. I don't want to share that online. You know, what's your limit? What's your boundary? And her position, I would say, Andrew, and you said that you listened to this podcast as well, her point is that maybe we should think more about what we're sharing and that maybe we don't have the need to share everything online because potentially it could have some negative consequences in the future. I guess it depends on who you are. Maybe that's something we can get into as well, Andrew. For me, I think the negative consequences really depends on who you are and how you use social media, etc. But this is really her argument. Her argument is maybe it would be better if we set ourselves more boundaries about what we share online. And this is all part of this concept that she's come up with about digital modesty.
Yeah, exactly. And Anna, could you remind us or remind me and tell our listeners, what is the name of that podcast?
Sure. It's a podcast called Modern Wisdom. And I would really recommend it if you like listening to long form interviews with really interesting people that have very different backgrounds and they talk about very different topics. And that's where I first heard of Mary Harrington, actually, and where she was giving this interview with the host. So really interesting, guys. If you want to add that alongside Qlips, that could be a nice compliment if you enjoy that type of format.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll put the link to that episode in the description for this episode. So you guys can check it out if you want. And it's a long, wide-ranging conversation. And really, digital modesty is kind of a small chunk at the start of the episode. But it was interesting because in that conversation, Mary, the woman who came up with this concept, she said that she had just finished a marathon. So she had ran a marathon, she crossed the finish line, and she was in that state of being really happy and probably proud of herself that she had achieved that goal. And her gut instinct in that moment was to take out her phone and to snap a selfie. And just as she was about to take the selfie, she was like, what is like the underlying reason that I want to take this photo? Is it that I want to have a memory of this moment for me? Or is it that I want to share this with my social network and for them to see what I've done and sort of in a way to kind of boast, I guess, right? Like, oh, I just finished this marathon. Here I am. And then she thought, okay, what is my underlying reason? And then what is the reaction going to be? So maybe out of, I don't know if she has like, let's say 90% of her followers on Instagram or wherever she would post this photo are going to say good things, like congratulations, well done, oh, good for you. And then there would be 10% of people who, I can't remember the expression that she used, but she had this great expression that she called like the haters, the people that follow you. I think she said hate follow, maybe. Like you have those people out there that are just rooting against you. And in fact, Mary Harrington, she called herself a professional opinion haver. So she's very opinionated. She's got strong ideas and strong beliefs. And of course, these people always are going to have haters, right? So she said, you know, 10% of my followers maybe online are people that follow me so that they control me, so that they can leave negative messages. And so she was thinking about that. Okay, well, I'll get mostly positive feedback, but I'm going to get some negative feedback. And that one negative comment maybe has the potential to ruin my day. And so is it worth it? Do I want to have this great feeling? Like I just finished the marathon. I'm on top of the world. I'm feeling amazing. And then that one comment could really spoil my day and break my good mood. So she was like, you know, I don't really need to do that. I'm just going to hold back. And that's kind of where this idea of digital modesty started for her.
Exactly, Andrew. I think that's a really good way of putting it. It was that moment where she took the selfie and she's like, you know, what am I doing? Like, why am I sharing this? Is it really necessary? I wonder, Andrew, maybe we can start with some questions here. Do you personally think it's important to be mindful of what you share online, as Mary said?
Yeah, I really like this idea of digital modesty. And it's something that I think you and I, Anna, we both think about. And we talk about it a little bit offline sometimes before we record Qlips or after we record Qlips, because we both are online people, right? We both have an online presence with Qlips, with your podcast as well, Anna. And so, you know, we're not celebrities at all, but we do have an online presence and we do need to put a little bit of ourselves online. I think if I didn't have Qlips, I would probably be a very offline person. In my personal life, I do have a personal Instagram account, but it's locked. It's private. I don't have too many acquaintances on there. It's mostly just my close friends that I really know and trust, and my family, and even, you know, classmates from high school or past classmates from university or acquaintances, like people that you don't know very well or people that I've known at one time, but I don't really know now. I don't have anybody like that on my followers list or people who follow me. So I don't really like sharing too much of myself online. And so it's tough. I'm always debating how much should I share with my Qlips audience as well. Of course, a lot of the stuff that we do here at Qlips is talking about our daily lives. And as a complement to that, it's really nice to be able to share pictures that go with it, right? If I'm talking about what I did or what restaurant I went to or some activity, you know, it's nice to have a picture that accompanies that. So I do like to share that with our audience. But at the same time, where is the boundary? How can you protect yourself and how can you keep some intimacy in your life, right? That's one of the things that Mary Harrington goes into in her interview as well. If you share everything, then nothing is private, nothing is special to you and for your family. And yeah, so I don't know. It's really tough. It's something that I struggle with, knowing what is appropriate to share and where's that boundary? What is oversharing online? What do you think, Anna?
Absolutely. And I completely agree. And I think we're massively on the same page. And the reason why I suggested this topic is because I think it's something that I've thought about and I'm interested in. And maybe you're listening to this, guys, and you're thinking, well, maybe it's not as important for me because I don't have a profile with a few followers. And I think that is a relevant point. It's like, maybe this is something that's more pertinent to people who have, like Mary Harrington, for example, who has a public profile. She's got social media accounts out there and she has a lot of people following her. Like you said, in our case, Andrew, like, of course, we're not celebrities or anything like this, but it's true that I'm the same as you. If I didn't have a podcast, if I didn't have a business, I wouldn't be on social media at all. And in fact, I don't have any personal social media. That's a choice. I don't want it. I don't think that anyone really cares about me taking a selfie and putting it on Instagram. Like, no, literally nobody cares. I really don't think they do. So that's one thing. That's a personal thing as well, guys, I would say. Of course, I'm talking from my perspective, in my opinion. I'm not saying that other people shouldn't share. I think it's just really personal. I think it also depends on your personality. Are you somebody that normally overshares anyway? We all know somebody that, you know, the first time you meet them, they tell you everything about their life and you're like, whoa, I just met you and I know everything about you. And then other people who are more private. And I think that goes across into the way that people use social media. Some people feel very comfortable sharing and actually they get a lot of almost positivity or positive feedback from that. And then other people feel less comfortable. I would definitely say I'm in the less comfortable category. And I'm really conscious. So there's a couple of things that I won't share anything in a personal context. I don't have any personal social media accounts at all. And then for me, I have a couple of like non-negotiables. So for example, I won't post anything about where I live, like the location. And sorry, guys, here I'm talking about from a business perspective. So here I'm talking about the account I have for the podcast. So I won't share anything about like the neighborhood or where I go in the neighborhood, because I feel like that's kind of my own little private bubble. And, you know, that's just something I don't feel comfortable sharing. And I won't post too many pictures of like my friends or my family or my partner, for example, because I haven't asked them. So I feel like there's also a thing for me of, I want to keep that professional account professional, and I prefer to just keep it that way. So for me, it's a very conscious decision of, I won't post anything about where I live or kind of the things I do in my private life, unless it's things like holidays, for example, or maybe going to the mountain, which I do like sharing those things. But yeah, so I have some kind of clear limits about what I will and won't share. So for me, digital modesty really strikes a chord with me, because I think that's how I prefer to manage that. But I think, again, it totally depends on who you are and your own feelings about social media. I don't know whether you, Andrew, have any sort of boundaries or you kind of consciously thought about, okay, I'm happy sharing this, but I'm not happy sharing that.
Yeah, I think definitely we are very much on the same page here, Anna. I think, like you said, when you go traveling, I like posting pictures from my travels as well. I think that's nice to share. I don't mind, you know, posting pictures of me. I try to keep it me, sometimes my wife, because my wife doesn't mind. I ask her and she's like, yeah, go ahead. She's much more open. I don't think she's very digitally modest at all compared to me. But that's kind of the limit. Like, I don't really share too much about my family or friends, you know, like try to keep it mostly centered on me. It's maybe a selfish account in that way. But there are some things like, over the last year, when my wife and I were remodeling our home, I talked a lot about going through that process and remodeling the home. And then a lot of Qlip's listeners asked me to share pictures. And then I thought, how much do I want to share about like the interior of my home? And like, that's a very intimate, private place. And to have those pictures online forever, I don't know, it made me feel a little bit uncomfortable. And definitely the location of where I live. I've heard too many horror stories about different podcasters and YouTubers being stalked that I just want to protect myself as much as possible. Again, not thinking that anybody is going to stalk me. I'm sure there are other people that are more worthy of being stalked than me. You have to be careful. You never know what kind of danger is out there. And there's also this game on the internet, Anna. I don't know if you've ever seen it before, but it's called GeoTracer, I believe is the name, GeoTracer. And what it is, it's this competition where you play the game and it will give you just this random little one frame snapshot from Google Maps. And so it will be just like some nondescript field from somewhere in the world. And maybe you see, okay, there's a road here. There's like a little stream here and there's a countdown. You have about 60 seconds and you have to try and locate where is this in the world, just from the little snapshot you see of the Google Maps road view, right? Which is, you know, Google has that car that they drive around everywhere to photograph all of the roads in the world. So you see this little slice, and these guys that are experts at these games can find exactly that location in like 30 seconds. Like, it's incredible. Like, how did you find it? The whole world, they just know, oh, you know, like in Latvia, the road line is like 50 millimeters thick. And in, I don't know, in Norway, it's 40 millimeters. So they can like find, you know, little differences. And so after watching that, I thought it's really cool. It's really fun to watch. It's an awesome game. And I even tried it. It's fun to play. But that scared me a little bit. I was like, wow, you know, even when you just take a picture outside, people can use the information in the background, the signs, the way the sun is shining that day. Like, there's so many things in the background, all of that information, that if people know what they're looking for, they can locate you kind of anywhere. And so that's a little freaky to me. Like, I want to protect my privacy in that way. So I try to be really conscious of that now, so that if I do take a photo, you know, I'm not just looking, how does my smile look? How do my clothes look? You know, I'm more concerned with like, what's in the background? Am I giving away exactly where I am? And something to think of for sure.
I'd like to then play a bit of devil's advocate here, because we're both on the same page with this. And I think we both feel like there's definitely a limit to what we want to share. But on the other hand, I can see it from other people's perspective. Like, if you don't have a profile with a lot of followers, for example, you just use it for a personal context. You're like, why not? Why not share things? Why not put things out there? Maybe another point, which I think is really relevant, is it's a great way to connect with people that you don't see all the time. You know, we live in different countries, and I'm sure, guys, maybe you're listening to this and you're not living in the same country that you grew up in, and you want to connect with the family that you have back home. So why not share? Why not put it out there? Why not share all these amazing experiences that you're having, which people would never normally be able to see? So I guess on the other hand, there are some great things about sharing stuff online, about helping you feel more connected to your family, to your friends that maybe you don't see all the time. And I can imagine somebody sort of saying, well, who cares if I share a lot or not? You know, why not? I can imagine that being an attitude of a lot of people that maybe would disagree with us, Andrew. It's like, well, why not? Nobody really cares. And the negative consequences for a normal user using, okay, I'm normal in inverted commas, normal user using social media in a normal way, what really are the negative consequences? So I can see that being somebody else's point of view, which is absolutely valid.
Yeah, and I can see that point of view as well. And I have to say, I'm a total hypocrite because I also use social media in that way. Like, I love it when my friends post Instagram stories and I can see them, you know, doing something that they love doing and they thought it was special enough to make a story out of it. I live away from a lot of my friends back in Canada and I miss them. And that's like a great way to get a little glimpse into their lives. So I love consuming that content. And a little earlier you said like, nobody wants to see my Instagram story or my photo, but I think that's totally wrong because the people back home who miss you probably would love to see updates from your life. When I was traveling in Australia recently, I posted a bunch of Instagram stories, which I usually don't do, but I did it just because I know like my parents can see them. That's a way for them to sort of stay updated on what I'm doing. My elderly aunt can see them. She loves to see the photos and she would comment like, oh, have a great trip. Looks like you're having fun. And it's just a nice way to stay in touch with them. So yeah, I totally see the power. Like, it's like a lot of things online. There's good points, there's bad points. And it's hard to find that balance. But I think, yeah, it's different when it's closed and a personal ecosystem with just like a private account with the followers that you approve versus just throwing it out into the wild where everybody can access it. And then who knows what happens as a result, right? And thankfully at Qlips, most of the feedback, we don't really have any haters. I think I'm so lucky as someone who is online. I don't get too many negative comments. Almost all of the comments are positive. Maybe we have some haters, but they're polite haters and they don't comment. So thank you to all the polite haters. I don't know.
Well, there's always going to be somebody that doesn't like something. There's always going to be people that don't like things. That's just a fact of life, right?
Yeah, which is totally fine. But people who comment, who go out of their way to say that they don't like things. I mean, Mary Harrington there was saying that she has, you know, 10% of those followers who are just haters. And I think at Qlips, at least, I don't have that. So if I had to deal with that, I think I'd be much, much, much more reluctant to post as much as I do. And not saying that I post a lot, but you know, if for every 9 positive comments, I had one that was just cutting and damaging, like I'd be very reluctant. I think I'm very sensitive in that way. I'd be really reluctant to post in the future. So yeah, thankfully I don't have to deal with that issue at all. Do you ever have any haters online, Anna?
I mean, occasionally somebody will send me a message, or normally more than a comment, because there's always people that maybe leave like a little comment. I don't really get anybody leaving massively negative things, but you know, maybe the occasional message or DM or something like this. And honestly, I just mainly, sometimes people have a valid point. Maybe they'll say something about the podcast. Maybe they'll say that would be really great if you, well, maybe they don't say it quite like that, but what they're trying to say is it would be great if you could change this. Okay, fine. That's an absolute valid point of feedback. You've got to listen to the constructive, maybe not so constructive, but criticism as well. But you know, if I feel that it's something that's just baseless and it's just sent from that, then I think the best thing in most cases is just to, okay, great, and just move on. But again, like you said, I do not have a big profile. I cannot imagine what it is like to be somebody that has, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of followers that receives hateful comments. I really can't imagine that. I haven't been through it. I haven't experienced it. So like you said, Andrew, if that were me, if I were in their shoes, maybe I would even be even more private about it. And actually thinking about it now, I guess what we can conclude from what we've talked about is that it really depends on, you know, who you are and, you know, your personality, how much you like to share, but also what your profile is on social media. I guess that's kind of what you're saying. And when I think about it, I think about some people that I follow on social media that have really big profiles that are quite controversial figures. And I'm thinking about one person in particular, and they don't actually share anything really about their personal life. So they have really controversial opinions and they get a lot of attention, but they don't share anything about their personal life. And I don't know whether that might be a pattern for people who are more controversial. Maybe they sort of think, maybe I'm happy to put this out there, but I want to keep this area sacred, essentially. And I think it's that classic thing of like a division between your work life and your home life. some people like to have a commute so they can distinguish between when they're at work and when they're at home. And I guess it's kind of the same sort of thing. It's like if you have a page that's for your business or for your work, it's like work and it's not your home life. So you want to kind of separate them out. But yeah, I mean, and actually I wanted to mention, yeah, you said that people would be interested in seeing, I mean, I think probably only my gran, maybe my mum, but probably not even my mum, to be honest. And you know, I have to say, there's a really nice thing, guys. If you don't like sharing on social media, it's not your thing. I have a little trick that you can do if you have family that you live in other places. One thing I do with my gran, because she likes to be in touch with things, but she doesn't have any social media, I send her postcards. But postcards with pictures. So pictures of me or me, my partner or whatever. There's like lots of little apps that you can use these days that send the postcards automatically.
Oh, it's like a digital postcard?
Yes, it's like a digital postcard and it sends it from around the world. And, you know, it's on an app and you can add a photo. And it's a really nice way to share moments without using social media. So that's a little life hack sharing with you, sharing with you there.
I like that, the digital postcard. I'll have to try that out. I mean, the analog postcard would be awesome too, right? Like, you know, writing by hand.
No, it comes in there. No, it is. It is physical, but you order it online. So it's like on an app and then they send it from there, I don't know, wherever, but it arrives in the post, but you just don't have to send it, if that makes sense. And you can add on your pictures.
So you make it, you design it in your app, you choose the photo. Do you write the message in the app?
Yep, you can write a message, you can put the location, the date, and then you put the address and then it sends it and it arrives.
Oh, okay, cool. So it's like a little combination of both, the analog and the digital. Cool. Well, Anna, I think we could probably leave it here for today. A very fascinating topic. We could go on and on about this forever, but I think this is a good place to call it quits for today. But of course, we would like to hear our listeners' perspective. Guys, you heard from Anna and I today, but we do have a situation that I think is a little bit different from most people's. But I also know that on Instagram, we have people who follow the Qlips account who have bigger accounts than Qlips, much bigger accounts. And so there are some people out there listening who have larger online presences than Anna and myself. So guys, we'd love to hear from everybody. You can share your comments, your feedback. Please, no hate. The best way to get in touch with us, of course, you could comment on the Instagram, but a better place is on our Discord community. It's the place where our community connects with each other. And it feels a lot more personal than social media. I think because we're not really sharing as many pictures with each other. We're just sort of chatting with each other, messaging each other. And it's a lovely place. It's a very positive place. And it is where we practice our English together and communicate with each other. The link to join our Discord, and of course, it's free to join, is in the description for this episode. So if you haven't joined us there yet, what are you waiting for? Come on and check it out. And Anna and I are going to keep our discussion going for just a little bit longer in the bonus content for this episode, which is for our members, just as a way to say thanks for their support. And guys, if you are a member listening to this episode right now, then you're going to want to stop and go over to your Qlips.com account, log in and find the ad-free version, because that's where you'll be able to hear the bonus content. But for everybody else, we'll leave it here for today, guys. Please take care, and we'll be back soon with another brand new episode. We'll talk to you then. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.